प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। So thank you very much once again, all of you dear devotees, for kindly being present here today at this wonderful Bhakti Sangha Japa conference. It's a great honor and privilege to be speaking something for the pleasure of the devotees. So before I begin, I would like to share my screen so that I can show the verse in the Vedabhyas folio, and then from there we will try to recite the verse, and I'll try to after explaining the translation and purport, I will try to speak something upon the verse. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 28, verse number 62. Today is 12th of September 2020. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। अहम् भवान् चान्यस्त्वम् त्वमेवाहम् विचक्ष्वभो ननौ पश्यन्ति कवयस् छिद्रं जातुमनागपि। सिनोनिम्स: अहम, आय, भवान, यू, न, नॉट, च, आल्सो, अन्यः, डिफरेंट, त्वम, यू, त्वम, यू, एव, सर्टेनली, अहम, एस आई एम, विचक्ष्व, जस्ट ऑब्जर्व, बहु, my dear friend, na, not, now, of us, pashyanti, do observe, kavaya, learned scholars, chidram, faulty differentiation, jatu, at any time, manak, in a small degree, api, even. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: My dear friend, I, the super soul, and you, the individual soul, are not different in quality, for we are both spiritual. In fact, my dear friend, you are qualitatively not different from me in your constitutional position. Just try to consider this subject. Those who are actually advanced scholars, who are in knowledge, do not find any qualitative difference between you and me. Purport: both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity are qualitatively one. There is no factual difference between the two. The Mayavadi philosophers are again and again defeated by the illusory energy because they think that there is no separation between the super soul and individual soul, or that there is no super soul. They are also misled in thinking that everything is the super soul. However, those who are Kavaya, learned scholars, actually know the facts. They do not commit such mistakes. They know that God and the individual soul are one in quality, but that the individual soul falls under the clutches of Maya, whereas the super soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the controller of Maya. Maya is the creation of the Supreme Lord, Maya Srashta. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the controller of Maya. Although one in quality with the Supreme Lord, the individual soul is under the control of Maya. Mayavadi philosophers cannot distinguish between the controller and the controlled. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, in this particular verse, I'll go back to the verse and I will show what the original words given here are. Aham bhavanna chanyasvam tvam eva aham vichakshvabho nanau pashyanti kavayas chidram jatu managati. So first and foremost, I would like to put this verse in context. What is the context here? See, the name of the chapter is given here, 28th chapter. Puranjan becomes a woman in the next life. Name is Vaidarbhi, Vidarbha Putri. So he becomes Vaidarbhi in his next life. And after becoming Vaidarbhi in his next life, the husband to whom Vaidarbhi is married, that husband passes away. And because the husband passes away, what happens is that Vaidarbhi is lamenting at this point of time. Vaidarbhi, who was Puranjan in previous life, married to Puranjani. And in this life, Vaidarbhi, she has lost her husband and she is lamenting. Now suddenly, after losing her husband, she is lamenting, and there is one Atmagyani Brahman who comes there. Atmagyani Brahmana means a self-realized Brahmana comes there. The self-realized Brahmana is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this self-realized Brahmana, who is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is saying to Vaidarbhi, what is he saying? Aham bhavan na chanyastvam. That aham bhavan, who I am, that is you. Nacha anyastvam. So I am not anybody else. Tvam eva aham, and you are me. Vichakshva bhoho. Bhoho, oh dear friend, vichakshva. Just consider this. Na nau pashyanti kavayas. Kavayah, those who are learned souls. Na pashyanti, they do not see. Now, between both of us, chidram, any difference. Jatu, at any point of time. Managapi, even a tiny difference between both of us. So, this is explained here. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport is explaining about how the impersonalists, they do not see any difference between the Jivatma and the Paramatma. Because there are verses like these in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You see, this verse, if it is given a very literal interpretation, then the meaning will be that I am you and you are me. And learned souls do not see even a tiny bit of difference between both of us. The person who is speaking is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the person who is listening is Puranjan, the conditioned Jivatma, who is currently in the body of a lady. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is saying to the Jivatma, that is Puranjan, in his next life as a lady, that I am you and me, you are me, just understand this fact. And learned souls don't see any difference between both of us. So, somebody may say at this point of time, see, this is where Srimad Bhagavatam itself is speaking about the non-difference of the Jivatma and the Paramatma. So, if the Srimad Bhagavatam itself in verses like this speaks of the non-difference between the Jivatma and the Paramatma, why should we not accept that as a conclusive fact? That the Srimad Bhagavatam also, just like many places in the Vedic literature, it is said that Jivatma and Paramatma are one. So similarly here also, you know, we should accept that the Jivatma and the Paramatma are one, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is himself saying that aham bhavan na chanyas, I am you, not anybody else. Vam eva aham, and you are me. So why should we accept, you know, this Vaishnava understanding that I am separate from you? So this has to be understood by us today. First and foremost, if we want to understand statements like these, we should understand that in Shastra, in general, there are many such statements made about the oneness of the Jivatma and the Paramatma. So there is no running away from such statements in Shastra. There are many statements made. For example, in the Upanishads, it is said, Tat Tvamasi, you are that. Aham Brahma Asmi, I am Brahma. And many times it is interpreted by the impersonalists as being indicative of complete non-distinction between the Jivatma and the Paramatma. So why are such statements present in Shastra? This we have to understand. Why are such statements present in Shastra? Such statements are present in Shastra because there are individuals who have such inclinations in spiritual life. Because there are certain individuals who have this deep inclination that I wish to merge with the absolute truth. There are some individuals who feel incomplete as a part and parcel. They feel that unless I become all pervasive, unless I become Brahma, and since Brahma is all pervasive, it is present everywhere. And unless I lose all my material qualities, because Brahma has no material qualities. The impersonal Brahman has no material qualities. So unless I lose all my material qualities and unless I become all pervasive, I will always remain incomplete. So, for this reason, they wish to lose their individuality and merge into Brahma. Now, the Upanishads say, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadhati Kaman. That Nityo Nityanam, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Nitya. The Jivas are Nitya. And that one Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the desires of all the living entities. We see in the modern human society, nowadays especially, there are many individuals who think that there is no such concept as God. We feed ourselves by our own efforts. And we are the makers of our own destiny. And such people should be asked, well, you are the maker of your own destiny, maybe we can accept that. But then who is deciding the destiny of the remaining 83,99,999 species of life? Who is feeding the remaining 83,99,999 species of life? Who is maintaining all these species of life? Because today human beings think that, you know, we are independent of nature. We are completely independent of nature, self-sufficient entities. So this understanding which is there in the modern world is not present in Vedic literature. Vedic literature says all living entities are maintained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their desires are all fulfilled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, how are their desires fulfilled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? By providing the various paraphernalia which is needed for their maintenance. For animals, so many things are provided for their maintenance. Nature itself provides. Maya Devi, she herself provides under the agency of Bhagavan. So, all the species are maintained. Human beings are also similarly maintained. But human beings have some higher needs in life. Some human beings, they have a need to investigate into spiritual life. Brahma Jigyasa. So once they have this desire for investigation into spiritual life, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead also helps those individuals. Now, in investigating into spiritual life, everybody doesn't want to have the same opinion. So, the Vedic scriptures say, Ekam Sat Vipraha Bahudha Vadanti. And actually, the absolute truth is one. But Vipraha Bahudha Vadanti. That the learned individuals or the Brahmanas, they define that one absolute truth in many ways. So, for this reason, there is no Mataikya. Mataikya means there is no single opinion amongst the spiritualists on what is the absolute truth. And that is not a limiting factor of Vedic culture. That is actually a beauty of Vedic culture. Because Vedic culture doesn't just say, okay, this is the supreme absolute truth, plain vanilla flavor, and everybody has to accept it. Otherwise, you are not bona fide. This is not what Vedic literature says. Vedic literature says that the same absolute truth is perceived by various individuals in various ways. Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Muni, is making a statement to his mother, Devahuti. What does he say to his mother, Devahuti? So, I will show this statement in front of all of you. I will share my screen and we can see this statement. So, the screen is in front of all of us. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 3:32:26. So, Jnana Matram Param Brahma Paramatma Ishwarah Puman Drishyadibhi Prithak Bhavair Bhagavan Eka Iyate. This statement says, Jnana Matram Param Brahma Paramatma Ishwarah Puman. It says, some people perceive him as Jnana Matra. Jnana Matra means, they perceive him as only the absolute truth, as only knowledge. Param Brahma, they see him as Param Brahma. Then Paramatma, some people see him as Paramatma. And Ishwarah Puman, Puman means personality. Some people see him as Ishwarah Puman, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, some people see him as Param Brahma. Some people see him as Paramatma. Some people see him as Ishwarah. Drishi Adivihi Prithak Bhavair. Why do they see him differently? Drishi Adivi. Drishi means due to their perception, etc. Due to their differences of perception. And Prithak Bhavair. Because they have different conceptions. But Bhagavan Eka Iyate. That same Bhagavan. The absolute truth is Bhagavan. But that same Bhagavan is seen as Param Brahma, same Bhagavan is seen as Paramatma, same Bhagavan is seen as Puman Ishwarah. Because the spiritualists don't always want to have the same conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have these different conceptions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because of this reason, the Supreme Personality of Godhead also facilitates all of them. And for those who want to see the Supreme Lord, or those who want to perceive the Supreme Lord in His impersonal Brahma feature, those who want to experience oneness with that Brahma feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so there have to be some statements in Shastra which facilitate this concept of oneness. Therefore, this oneness is in some places specified in Shastra. And one of the statements is our current verse which we are studying today. So, the current verse which we are studying today, I will go back to it. Aham Bhavan Nachanyasvam Tvam Evaham. So, I am you, not different, and you are me. So, this is a verse which is spoken from an Abheda point of view. Abheda point of view means a point of view of non-difference. Although our Acharyas such as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they have very clearly said that aham bhavan, that I am you, because chinmayatvat, because both of us are spiritual. And you are me because both of us are spiritual. Not that I am you and you are me because both of us are exactly the same. That is not possible. That is not possible for a jivatma to become the Paramatma. It is not possible. Why is it not possible? Because there are so many statements in Shastra, especially in the Bhagavad Gita itself, Krishna has said. What has Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita? Mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said in 15th chapter, verse number 7. Mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Mamai va amshah. So, Krishna says, they are my parts. Jiva loke jiva bhuta. All these living entities are my parts. And what sort of parts are they? Sanatana. So, these all living entities are my eternal fragments. By the term sanatana in 15.7. Mamai vamcho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. By using the term sanatana here, Krishna has made it absolutely clear that the fragmented living entities are eternal parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, they are eternal fragments, and if he has declared them to be eternal fragments, then how can they be one with him? Because if they are one with him, then they cannot be called fragments. A part is never completely one with the whole. So a part has some distinction. Therefore, if the part and the whole are exactly one, then there is no meaning of saying that mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. So therefore, one should understand this thing, that even though there are statements in Shastra which say that there is absolute non-difference between Paramatma and Jivatma, that absolute non-difference is spoken for those who are inclined to Brahman realization. It is not spoken for those who are inclined to Bhagavan realization. Dear devotees, we are inclined to Bhagavan realization. All devotees, we are inclined to Bhagavan realization. Why are we inclined to Bhagavan realization? So, this is also specified in Srimad Bhagavatam. Where is it specified? So, Kapila Muni says, what does he say? This is in the chapter where he is explaining Bhakti Yoga. So, this chapter, 3rd canto, 29th chapter, verse number 13. The verse is in front of all of us. Salokya sarishti samipya sarupyai katvam apyuta diyamanam na grihnanti vinamasevanam janah. Salokya. Salokya means if somebody gets the liberation of being on the same planet as the Lord. Sarashti. Sarashti means if somebody gets the liberation of having the same opulence as the Lord. Samipya. Samipya means somebody gets the opulence of being constant associate of the Lord. Sarupya. Sarupya means somebody gets the opulence of having the same bodily form as the Lord. Ekatva. Ekatva means even if somebody gets the opportunity of becoming completely one with the Lord. Apyuta. Even though they may get all of these, diyamanam, even though these are given, these five types of liberation are given. Salokya, Sarishti, Samipya, Sarupya, Ekatva. Or Sayujya. Ekatva is also known as Sayujya. Diyamanam na grihnanti. They do not accept. Who do not accept? The devotees. Janaha. My devotees don't accept. Vinamat sevanam. If it doesn't come with my service. Vinamat sevanam jana. If it doesn't come along with my service, then my devotees will never accept even the remaining liberations. What to speak of merging into Brahma. So when somebody merges into Brahma, what happens? So merging into Brahman is exactly like a green colored parrot entering into a dense green colored forest. If a green colored parrot enters into a green colored forest, the parrot may become invisible in the forest, but doesn't mean that the parrot's identity has become merged into the forest's identity. The parrot never loses its identity even though it has entered into a forest. Similarly, a person may merge into the impersonal Brahma, but even in the impersonal Brahma, they do not lose their individuality. This is the very clear opinion of our previous acharyas. Very clear opinion. So just as a green parrot enters into a green forest, but the parrot never loses its identity. Similarly, the jiva may think that it has merged into the existence of Brahma, but the jiva can never be all pervasive. And since the jiva can never be all pervasive, therefore it is not possible for the jiva to actually become Brahma. So this thing we have to understand very clearly. Now that we have studied these statements where, you know, we saw a statement which is today's verse where Jivatma and Paramatma are described as one. And these statements are for the impersonalists, mainly targeted towards the impersonalists. They are not mainly meant for the devotees because the devotees don't want this. Why do the devotees not want this? The devotees don't want this because the devotees understand that merging into the impersonal Brahma is a sort of a trap. Why is it a sort of a trap? So it is a sort of a trap because Srila Prabhupada explains this thing in the purport. Prabhupada gives a small hint about it. In the original verse that we are discussing today, Srila Prabhupada is giving a hint about it. So let's go to this verse, and in the purport we will see what Srila Prabhupada is saying. Prabhupada is saying the Mayavadi philosophers are again and again defeated by the illusory energy because they think that there is no separation between the super soul and the individual soul, or that there is no super soul. They are also misled in thinking that everything is the super soul. So, see, one thing is all jivas, whether they are impersonalists or they are devotees, first and foremost, we respect all spiritualists. We respect all of them. Basic level of respect should be there. Basic level of respect means philosophically we may say that they are Mayavadi, but we do not attack anybody's character. So even there are so many nice sadhus who took initiation into the sampradaya of Sri Adi Shankaracharya. Although philosophically we call them Mayavadi, and this term Mayavadi has become, nowadays it has become a pejorative term. Pejorative term means it has become a negative term. So when say somebody is a Mayavadi, means automatically it implies that they are bogus. So there are many followers of Adi Shankaracharya who say, who accept that we are Mayavadi. For example, there is Vachaspati Mishra. Vachaspati Mishra is a follower of the Sampradaya of Adi Shankaracharya. In his commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, he has said, Vayam Mayavadinah, we are Mayavadis. But he has, for them, when they use this term Mayavadi, they don't use it in the pejorative sense. They use it in the sense of saying that, you know, everything in this world is mithya because it is Maya. It is a transformation of Maya. So they are Mayavadis. And although we call them like that, but we should never disrespect or attack somebody's personal character because they are all sadhus. All of them are sadhus, we have to understand. Some of them have very good character, very good character. Now, somebody may ask, where is it given that a Mayavadi is also a sadhu? An impersonalist is also a sadhu. So this is given in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2. Prabhupada's own translation. So we will see Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2, Prabhupada's own translation, that Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktes Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam Mahantaste Samachittaha Prashanta Vimanyavaha Suhridah Sadhavoya Sadhavaha. Sadhavaha is there in the term, sadhus. So Srila Prabhupada says in the translation, one can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. These personalities are impersonalists and devotees. Please see here. It's very clearly given in the translation. Highly advanced spiritual personalities can be of two types. First is an impersonalist, second may be a devotee. So, we may call them Mayavadi, or on a philosophical level, we may have some severe disagreements with them. But one thing we should be always careful of, that we never have to attack the personal character of any individual, because they are highly advanced spiritual personalities. In the words of Srila Prabhupada, they are highly advanced spiritual personalities. So, once we understand this fact, we also have to understand that how is it that we think that their realization is not the highest? Why do we think that their realization is not the highest? And Srila Prabhupada said in the purport to today's verse that they are actually Maya cheats them. So why do we think like that? We think like that because the impersonalists, or those who want to merge into Brahman, their reason for merging into Brahman is because they understand that this jagat, this world, is mithya, it is false. And whatever happiness or sadness that we experience here is also mithya. So everything that we see around here, according to them, is mithya. Brahma is the only truth. Brahma satya jagat mithya. This is one of the, in a half a verse we can summarize that what is Advaitavad, that Brahma satya jagat mithya. So the only truth is Brahma. Everything else that we see around us is mithya. Which means that right now my speaking to all of you is also mithya. It is not taking place. My speaking to all of you is also mithya. It is not happening. Right now all of you listening is also mithya. Your bodies are also mithya. Whatever you are hearing is also mithya. Everything that is there in the world is mithya. Whatever has any quality whatsoever is mithya. False. Any quality that you see around us, any form, shape, color, characteristic, anything that has any characteristic is mithya. Dear devotees, this is mithya. Completely mithya. This is the opinion of the Advaitavadis or the impersonalists. If everything is mithya or false, and what is satya? What is the truth? Brahma is satya. According to them, Brahma is satya. If Brahma is satya, what characteristics does Brahma have? So Brahma has only, doesn't have any of these characteristics that you see around you. In fact, Brahma cannot have any attributes. Okay, Brahma cannot have any attributes. Why do you want to merge into that Brahma? We want to merge into Brahma because Brahma is Satchidananda. And we also want to become Satchidananda. But you said Brahma has no attributes. Now how come suddenly Brahman has the attributes of being Sat, being Chit, and being Ananda? So Brahma has some eternal spiritual attributes. Okay. So Brahma has some eternal spiritual attributes, yes. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. This is the Upanishad. Brahma is Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. These are characteristics of Brahma. So if Brahma is Satyam Jnanam Anantam, so Brahma has some characteristics, but these are not material characteristics. Fair enough. So you also want to become Satyam Jnanam Anantam, but currently you are not Satyam Jnanam Anantam. So if you merge into Brahma, then you will also become Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Satchidananda Brahma. Once you become Satchidananda Brahma, then there will be no difference between Jivatma and Brahma. Then you will be happy. That will be true happiness. But dear Advaitavadi or dear Brahmavadi, if I become one with Brahma, if I merge into Brahma, my existence itself will be lost. Because that whom I am calling Aham, this Aham Padarth is, or this substance called Aham itself is the cause of my bondage, according to your philosophy. According to your philosophy, this Aham should be lost, merged into Brahma. If this Aham merges into Brahma, just as a tiny rock of salt, you know, it falls into the ocean and merges into the ocean. It becomes a part of the ocean. So a tiny rock of salt becomes a part of the ocean. Once it falls into the ocean, it dissolves into the ocean. Similarly, if I also dissolve into Brahma and become one with Brahma, where is my identity? And if my identity is not there, how will I experience happiness? Where will be I? So if I is not there, then where is the question of happiness? The question of happiness is there only when there is some ego. I am happy. Because Brahma has no attributes. Brahma doesn't even have a personality in your opinion, in your school of thought. Brahman doesn't even have a personality. So if Brahman doesn't even have a personality, it has no attributes, it has no characteristics, how can Brahman ever think that now I have become happy? So Brahman cannot even think that I have become happy. And Brahman cannot even think I have become happy. And what is the point of merging into Brahman? Because if after merging into Brahman, I will lose my personality. I can't even think who I am. There is no I in Brahma. There is no ego in Brahma. If there is no ego in Brahma, why would I want to put myself into a state of being without any ego? The Vaishnav realization is that I need to have a real ego. Muktir hitvanyatha rupam swarupena vyavasthitihi. Srimad Bhagavatam says, true liberation means to give up all other forms and to be situated in your true swarupa. The impersonalists say true swarupa means to be situated in Brahma. But the devotees say true swarupa means to be situated in your real ego. What is your real ego? That real ego is something which we will get after perfection in Bhakti Yoga. After perfection in Bhakti Yoga, it is very important to understand that we will have an eternal ego. This eternal ego will not be our false ego. False ego keeps changing from one body to another. Right now I am in this body, which body is born in India. Next birth, I may take some another body. Next birth, some another bird or beast or insect or animal or anything I may become. So my ego changes accordingly. So that is false ego. True ego is to have spiritual identity. Now, finally, these individuals who are inclined to merging into Brahma, why do we say that their realization is not on the same level as the Vaishnav realization? Because Brahman realization and Bhagwan realization, we say Bhagwan realization is the superior realization. And Brahman realization is the not so superior realization. It is the basic elementary realization in spiritual life. This is what we say. Why do we say that Brahman realization is the elementary realization and Bhagwan realization is the topmost realization? The reason why we say that is because Srila Jiva Goswami has specified this in his Bhagavad Sandarbha. So Srila Jiva Goswami says in Bhagavad Sandarbha that those who are attached to the impersonal Brahma, they are attached to that feature because they don't want to perceive the absolute truth with any energies. They want the absolute truth minus energies. And when the absolute truth is without his energies, So he is perceived as the impersonal Brahman. Please try to understand this. The absolute truth minus all energies equal to impersonal Brahman. The absolute truth as the controller of material energy is Paramatma. The absolute truth as the controller of all material and spiritual energies is Bhagavan. This is simple definition that I am trying to give you today. Please try to understand. The absolute truth without perceiving any energy, material or spiritual, is Brahma. The absolute truth as the controller of only the material energy is perceived as Paramatma. The absolute truth as the controller of material as well as spiritual, all energies, is perceived as Bhagavan. Does it mean that there are three different absolute truths? There cannot be three different absolute truths. In fact, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is that verse, Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas, Tattvam Yajjanam Advayam, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabdete. I will show that verse. And that verse has a beautiful apparent contradiction. You see, this verse is in front of us right now. Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas Tattvam Yajjanam Advayam, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabdete. So, Tattva Vida means those who are knowers of the absolute Tattva, those who know the truth. Vadanti, they speak about what? Tat, Tat Padartha, that absolute truth. Tat means that, Tattvamasi, Tat, Tat Padartha, Vadanti Tat. So they speak of that. That means the absolute truth. Tat Tattvam, that absolute truth. Yat Jnanam Advayam, that which is nothing but non-dual knowledge. Achha, okay. Now, how do they speak of him? Brahmeti, they speak of him as Brahma iti, Paramatma iti, Bhagavan iti. They speak of that absolute truth in three different ways. Now, first and foremost, there is a contradiction in the verse. What is the contradiction in the verse? In the first line itself, it is said Advayam. In the second line, it is said Advayam. Advayam means it is non-dual. Dvaya means dual. Advaya means non-dual. If it is not dual, then it means it is one absolute truth. Now, if it is one absolute truth, then why give three names to it? Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagwaniti. It should be given only one name. So the verse itself is like apparently contradicts itself. If it is Advaya, if it is non-dual, it has to be one. If there is nothing, if it is not two, what is not two is one. Advayam, negation of multiple. That means it is one. So if it is one, then why call it with three different names? Does it mean that these three different names, these are three different entities? No, they are not three different entities. Why are they not three different entities? They are actually the same entity. The same entity, then why are they being called with three different names? They are being called with three different names because of the perceiver's ability. Not because there are three different absolute truths. Because the perceiver's abilities are limited in certain cases. How is the perceiver's ability limited in certain cases? Because certain spiritualists don't want to perceive the absolute truth with all his energies. So they want to perceive the absolute truth without energies. Now, how do you perceive the absolute truth without energies? Because in order to perceive anything, you need some energy. Think about it. If you want to hear some sound, sound is also energy. If you want to see a sight, the photons bouncing off any object is also energy. If you want to smell something, that is also energy. So if you want to touch something, that is also energy. Energy is required for any sense perception. But somebody who wants to perceive the absolute truth without taking help of his energies, because for them energy is all Maya. So and Maya will, you know, Maya is illusory. So we don't want to have any Maya in our self-realization. When without Maya, without even yoga maya, then how will you be able to see the form of that absolute truth? Absolute truth has a form, but that form is seen only when you perceive his energies, his shakti. Therefore, that shakti is called as swaroop shakti. Dear devotees, swaroop shakti. Swaroop shakti means swaroop eva shakti. Hindi mein bolenge, unka swaroop hi unki shakti hai, unka roop hi unki shakti hai. His form itself is his energy. His form, his eternal form is made out of which substance? Which substance is Krishna's eternal form made out of? It's not made out of matter, so it's not made out of Maya Shakti. So it's made out of which Shakti? Because form has to be made out of energy. So the form is made out of Chit Shakti, Antaranga Shakti. And because his very form is made out of that Shakti, it is called Swaroop Shakti. Swaroop means form. His form itself is his Shakti. So, but they don't want to see any Shakti. So, but without Swaroop Shakti, his form cannot be seen at all. So then they can only perceive impersonal Brahman. No seeing him, no tasting him, no hearing him. The cows in Vraja, they taste the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because Swaroop Shakti. The gopis, they hear the flute of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because Swaroop Shakti. Yogamaya. But those who don't want to perceive Swaroop Shakti, neither Maya Shakti nor Swaroop Shakti, then they become impersonalists. Then all they can do is merge into the green forest and then think, oh, I am Aham Brahmasmi. Then you will eternally remain Aham Brahmasmi. But that Aham will never go away, because just like the parrot who merges into the green forest remains a parrot, that Aham in Aham Brahmasmi will never go away. Never ever go away. And Jiva Tattva will always remain Jiva Tattva. They cannot merge and become Brahma Tattva. No, that is not possible. They may feel that they have become Brahma, but they remain individual particles. That's all it is. So better than that is to acknowledge the Swaroop Shakti and say that, yes, I want to become the servitor of the Swaroop Shakti, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I don't want to serve Maya Shakti. No. I want to be the servitor of the Swaroop Shakti. Achha. In Swaroop Shakti, there are so many variations. What are the variations? Sandini, Samvit, Ladini. So, amongst these, which Shakti do you want to become a servant of? So, we want to become servants of Ladini Shakti, Srimati Radharani. Why do we want to become servants? Because that is our servitude. Our servitude is towards the Ladini Shakti. So, our Jiva's position is always of servitude under Shakti Tattva. Jiva Tattva is always supposed to render service under Shakti Tattva. Whether it is Maya Shakti Tattva or Yoga Maya Shakti Tattva. Any Shakti Tattva, Jiva Tattva has to place itself under. So we Jiva Tattvas, we have to place ourselves under the guidance or under the care of Swaroop Shakti, specifically the Hladini aspect, which is Srimati Radharani. That is the aspect that we aspire to be servants of. And once we are servants of the Hladini Shakti aspect, truly speaking, here we are Maya Das. In this material world, we are servants of Maya. In the spiritual world, we would like to be called Yoga Maya Das. So we want to be servants of Yoga Maya, Ladini Shakti, under the guidance of the servants of Srimati Radharani, such as Sri Rupa Manjari, other Manjaris, etc. So this, dear devotees, is the difference. Once again, I would like to summarize. There are statements in Shastra which encourage impersonal understanding. And why do they encourage this impersonal understanding? Because there are living entities who are inclined to that understanding. And there are statements which encourage that understanding. But these statements are not necessarily meant for those who are inclined to devotional service or to bhakti. Those who are inclined to bhakti need not take those statements as being applicable for them. Secondly, why do people want to perceive the absolute truth as Brahman? Because they don't want to see any energies. So absolute truth minus all energies is perceived as Brahman. Cannot be seen, cannot be tasted, cannot be felt, anything. It is perceived simply perceived by the Jivatma, by the soul as Brahma. Absolute truth as the controller of material energy is perceived as Paramatma. You see, in the material world, there are three Paramatmas. Vishnostu Trini Rupani Purushakhyan Yatovidu Ekam Tumahatasrashtra Dvitiyam Tvandasamsitam Tritiya Sarva Bhutastam Tani Jyatva Vimuchyate. Rupa Goswami has specified a Shruti in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. There are three Paramatmas in the material universe. They are called as Purushas. Ekam Tu Mahatasrashtra. First is called as Karanadakaya Shai Vishnu, who is the first Vishnu in the material world. He is the Paramatma of the entire material creation. He is the super soul of the entire material creation. Second is Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu, who is the Paramatma of every individual universe. And third is Kshirodaka Shai Vishnu, who is the Paramatma for every tiny atom, including atomic living entities. So these are the three Paramatmas, but all these three are within the material world. Therefore, one who wants to perceive the Supreme Absolute Truth only as the controller of the field, they see the Supreme Absolute Truth in the Paramatma picture. Within the heart they see. And those who wish to perceive the Supreme Absolute Truth as the controller of both material and spiritual energies, they see the Supreme Absolute Truth in the complete 100% unadulterated Bhagavan feature, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is because of the difference in the inclination of individuals. The realizations that they attain are different. Otherwise, the Absolute Truth is Advaya. Advaya means it is non-dual. It cannot have two names. So, Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagavan, these three are the different aspects that they see. Now, if these three are the different aspects, how do we know that Bhagavan is the supreme aspect and not Brahma? So, this also I had specified. See here, the verse which I had specified from Kapila Muni is very important. I had specified this verse in this class only. Jnana Matram Param Brahma. Some people are perceiving him as only Jnana Matra, Param Brahma, only as Brahman, impersonal Brahman. Some people are perceiving him only as Paramatma. And some people are perceiving him as Ishwaraha Puman, as the personality of Godhead. Drishi Adivi Prithak Bhavair. They are all seeing according to their different visions and moods. But who is the original? Bhagavan. The original is Bhagavan. Amongst Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagavan. These three are not on the same level. The original is Bhagavan. So there is a hierarchy. So the hierarchy is the topmost is Bhagavan. Below Bhagavan is Paramatma. Below Paramatma is Brahma. They are not below. The thing is the people who realize them. The hierarchy is in the people who realize them. Otherwise the absolute truth is one. So that is the simple understanding of Brahma Tattva, Paramatma Tattva, Bhagavat Tattva. So I try to explain here something today about Brahma Tattva, Paramatma Tattva, Bhagavan Tattva. And I try to explain how some statements are there in Shastra which encourage us to merge with the Absolute Truth, or which say that we are one with the Supreme Lord. But those statements are there to encourage the Brahmavadis or to encourage the Mayavadis. But those statements should not be accepted by those who are devotees. A devotee should interpret the statements in such a way that they appear devotional. Although originally the purpose of the statement may be that, it may be an impersonal purpose. But we devotees don't have to accept that. Because we devotees accept only those statements where there is, difference between Paramatma and Jivatma, and whether is service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhavabandha chidetasyai sprihayami na muktaye bhavan prabhur aham daso iti yatra vilupyate. This is Sri Hanuman's statement in it's compiled in Padyavali as well as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Bhavabandha chidetasyai, Sri Hanumanji says, Sprihayamina Mukta. I don't aspire for that mukti, that liberation. Where Bhavan Prabhur Aham Daso Iti Yatra Vilupyate. Where the feeling of you being Prabhu, you being the Supreme Lord, and I being the servant is lost. I don't aspire for that sort of liberation. I don't want that sort of liberation. So this, dear devotees, is the sum and substance of Brahma realization, Paramatma realization, and Bhagwan realization. So once again, I would like to pause here right now. And I would like to thank all of you for kindly hearing me out today. I would like to also once again thank all the wonderful organizers of Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference. They are doing a wonderful service to Srila Prabhupada, to our ISKCON society. Thank you very, very much, dear devotees. I would like to pause here and give some time for question and answers to all of you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the very, very wonderful class, as always. And I'm glad that this verse came to you. We could learn from this. Prabhu, I have three questions. Please forgive me if the questions are very silly. Can I ask the three questions, Prabhu?
Sure. Why not? I'm here for answering questions.
So the first question is that when you were talking about how the cows and the trees and other things in Goloka Vrindavan, they're just perceiving Krishna. So my question here is, how do we apply this concept of perceiving in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan? Because we understand that the cows, the trees, the flute, everything is in a mixed rasa, meaning the cows also have vatsalya while they are in shanta. So like that, but how can we just apply the concept of perception for the spiritual world? I can understand in the Brahma Jyoti, but can you please throw more light on that, Prabhuji?
When I say perceive, they mean they are seeing him, they are tasting him, they are feeling him, they are perceiving him through all their senses. How are they perceiving him? Because they are experiencing Swarup Shakti of the Lord. What is perception? What is perception, basically? Let's define what is perception. Perception is when a sense organ comes in contact with the energy that is required to stimulate the sense organ. That is perception. Do you agree with me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
So, if we have a material sense organ, then if the material sense organ comes in contact with the material energy which stimulates the material sense organ, then the result is sense perception.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the spiritual world, we have Chinmay Indriya. Chinmay Indriya means we have spiritual sense organs because our entire existence is spiritual there.
Mm.
So once our entire existence is spiritual there, then whatever we perceive through spiritual senses, but that can only happen if the senses come in contact with an energy which stimulates the spiritual senses. Mm. Now, which energy can stimulate the spiritual senses?
The Shakti of the Lord.
That's it.
So then everybody is perceiving there. Right?
Yes. Okay. Their own forms are also made out of what?
Yeah, spiritual substance.
Right. And spiritual substance is nothing but which aspect of the internal energy? It is Sandini. Sandini creates, Sandini is responsible for generation of all entities.
Mm. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. Very nice. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And the next question is, so when we talk about how the people who have realized Paramatma, they are perceiving the Lord as the controller of the material energy. Am I wording it correct or am I wording it wrong?
Yes. Okay. Controller only of the material energy.
Material energy. And then we saw for the ones who have understood the complete feature of Bhagavan, they see him as the control of the spiritual and the material energy. And only the Brahman feature, they are just seeing the Lord as a, what? As just controller.
They are not seeing the Lord.
They are not seeing the Lord. Sorry. Yeah.
They perceive the absolute truth without the energies of the absolute. Now, how can there be perception without any energy? So, that perception doesn't happen with any material senses.
Mm.
You see, even Krishna's perception doesn't happen. Atah Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Grahyam Indriye. So yeah. Even Krishna's perception doesn't happen with material senses. But Sevon Mukhehi Jiva Dau Swayam Eva Spuratya. If Krishna is merciful, then he spiritualizes the senses of the sadhaka and gives the sadhaka an experience of the of himself.
Right. Very nice. So then if a person has perfected his life up to the Paramatma realization, maybe some yogi, then he still there is no question of liberation, quote unquote, for him? Or how do we understand his liberation? Where does he go in terms of, I understand he is liberated because he's seeing the Lord in the heart, but in terms of location later after he gives up his body, what happens?
So in the Yoga Shastra, there are these concepts of sabij and nirbij samadhi, because yoga ends at samadhi. The culmination of yoga is at samadhi. Once they reach the samadhi stage, they say there are two types of samadhis. One is called as sabija and one is called as nirbija. So sabija means there is some bija, means there is some meditation is on a certain personality. Of course, that personality is Yoga Purush Bhagavan Vishnu. Then they say from that you have to move ahead and go into nirbij samadhi. Nirbij means when you don't meditate on any personality, remove the personality. So once they go into nirbij samadhi, what happens is then they will lose that Paramatma realization. Ultimately, they'll have to merge into Brahma. But if they get attracted to the sabij variation of samadhi, then it is possible that they may attain the spiritual world.
So now I have a point here. So these people who are meditating on the Paramatma, as you said, first they go for sabij, then they are recommended to remove that
by the current yogacharyas. By the current yogacharyas. Therefore, this not in not all yogacharyas may agree on this, but the current yogacharyas say that you have to remove the sabij and then proceed ahead for nirbija. Because impersonalism is rampant in yoga, Ashtanga yoga circles.
Got it. Nice. Very nice, bro. And my last question. The question is, the people who have realized Brahman and who have attained the Brahma Jyoti, so they may fall down over a period of time or they will fall down over a period of time.
They will never fall down.
They will never. Okay. So they may,
anybody who has attained even Brahma Jyoti,
they will
never fall down. They will never ever fall down. There is no question of falling down even from Brahma Jyoti. Because sometimes it is said, that verse is quoted, Yenya Ravindaksha Vimukta Vaninas. I understand what you are speaking about. Vayastha Bhavad Avishuddha Buddhi Aruya Krichayana Parampadam Tatam Patantyado Nadrita Yushmanagraya. Am I correct? I have understood.
Yes. Very well. You have understood. That's why I asked me or will. That's why I asked. Yeah. Whether it is eternal or there is a chance.
No chance of falling down.
Okay.
There is no chance of falling down. Even from impersonal realization, there is absolutely no chance of falling down. Then what is the meaning of that verse? Yenyara Vindaksha Vimukta Maninas Tvayastha Bhavada Vishuddha Buddhaya Aruya Krichena Parampadam Tataha Patantyadho Nadrita Yushmad Angraya. This verse is 10.2.32 in Srimad Bhagavatam. And I will share my screen. This is Yenyara Vindaksha Vimukta Maninas Tvayastha Bhavada Vishuddha Buddhaya Aruya Krichena Parampadam Tata Patantyado Nadrita Yushmadangraya. Someone may say that aside from devotees who always seek shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees but who have accepted different processes for attaining salvation. What happens to them? In answer to this question, Lord Brahma and the other demigod said, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. Previous acharyas have said that this is for those who say that we are jivan mukta. in this body. They have not left the material world. They think artificially themselves to be Jivan Mukta. But they have no regards for the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their intelligence is impure. Not that somebody who has already merged into Brahman, their intelligence is impure. No. Because for merging into Brahman, one cannot merge into Brahman with impure intelligence. One cannot attain Brahma Jyoti with impure intelligence. In order to attain Brahma Jyoti, one's intelligence should be beyond the material universes. One's intelligence has to be pure in order to attain Brahma Jyoti. But there are some people here who are, who have not even given up their current body. Whose prarabdha karma is also not exhausted. But they are doing aham brahmasmi, and they are thinking, I am Brahma, so everything that I do is okay. So this is imagined superiority. So one is called as Jivan Mukti and one is called as Videha Mukti. Jivan Mukti means in this life you are not given up your body, but you are liberated.
Right.
Videha Mukti means after giving up your body, you are liberated. Once a person attains Videha Mukti and merges into Brahma, there is no question of falling down.
So when, just to make sure that we are clear with everybody, so even Prabhupada also, when he talks in many, because sometimes in many forums we do hear that a person falls from, not Prabhupada, but I'm saying generally when people are talking in the class, we say a person will fall from Brahma's, where is the discrepancy coming in? That is my question.
See, the thing is, if somebody says, sometimes it is said that impersonalists fall from Brahma Jyoti, But the thing is that if impersonalists fall from Brahma Jyoti, then their liberation cannot be a permanent state of existence. If their liberation is not a permanent state of existence, does it mean that only the Vaishnav liberation is a permanent source of existence and the impersonal liberation is not a source of permanent existence? No. Because why? Because the Vedanta Sutra is very clearly said, the final sutra of Vedanta Sutra, everybody should refer to this. Anavritti Shabdat. I will try to see if I have the Vedanta Sutras with the commentary of Srila Baladev Vidya Bhushan. It is very important to understand that even in impersonal liberation, people don't fall down. So I will show this particular text from which is the last sutra of the Vedanta Sutra. And it is important to understand that a person doesn't fall down even from impersonal liberation. Yes, I will show you this. This is Vedanta Sutra with Govinda Bhashya. I am sharing my screen.
Okay.
Yeah, you can see here.
Yes.
So, anavritti hi shabdat. This is the last sutra. Why is the same thing?
Last sutra of the last chapter, Prabhu.
Yeah, last sutra of the last chapter. When a sutra is repeated twice, it means it is the final sutra of any sutra. Because in the end, you repeat, even Panini's sutra, they end with a. The same a is repeated twice. When the sutra is repeated twice, it means it is the last sutra. That is how they used to indicate previously. That this is where the sutra ends. Anavritti hi shabdat. You can see word for word, anavritti means no return. Shabdat means because shabda praman, on account of the scriptural statement. Anavritti means no return. Shabdat on account of the scriptural statement. And there is no return to samsara, to material world, for the mukta, for the liberated, because of the word of God. Yes, there is no return because of the word of God. So, this is in the commentary, it is very clearly, it's not said anywhere in any commentary, it is not said that one who goes to Brahma Jyoti returns back. Anybody who is liberated. You can see here, so this is Devanagari. This is Chandogya Upanishad. This is 8.15.1. Khalvevam वर्तयन्या वदायुषं ब्रह्मलोकम अभिसंपद्यते न च पुनरावर्तते न च पुनरावर्तते न च पुनरावर्तते थ्री टाइम्स इट इज सेड He verily returns, verily thus passing his life attains on death. See, this is not Jivan Mukti. This is Videha Mukti. The world of the impersonal Brahman and never returns therefrom, never returns therefrom, never returns therefrom. So it's very clear.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for clarifying all these questions. Very grateful to you and wonderful class. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yes.
Prabhu, I want to ask you one thing. Shankaracharya ji always propounded impersonalist. But at the end of his life, he also said Bhaj Govindam. Will you explain this?
See, Adi Shankaracharya, his main aim of life was to propound Advaitavad. And he propounded Advaitavad till the end of his life. So, Bhaja Govindam, at what point of time did he say Bhaja Govindam? When you can read in his biography, where he is visiting Kashi, and in Kashi, there is a grammar teacher who is teaching his students. So, he is teaching various rules of grammar to his students. And that grammar teacher is very old. And that grammar teacher is teaching various rules of grammar to his students. And suddenly he's teaching all the dhatus. Dhatu is verbal roots. In Sanskrit grammar, there is dhatu. He's teaching the dhatus. So he has to teach a dhatu. Dukrai karane. There is one dhatu. Dukrai karane. So how does he teach it? There is a metal vessel which goes falling down on the stairs of the ghats of Kashi. That metal vessel makes a sound. Dung, 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 dung. So he says, hey, just see. Duk, dung, krei, karane. So he says like that. He's teaching his students like that. So then Adi Shankaracharya sees such an old man is still teaching grammar. Instead of being a devotee of the Lord, you know, he's still teaching grammar. So there he tells him, you know, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Moodhamate, Samprapte, Sannihite, Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati, Dukraim Karane. So in Kashi he said that. It's not that at the end of his life he said that. At the end of his life, you know, it is the impersonalists, they describe him in a different way. Sometimes devotees say at the end of his life he said Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam. No. At one point of life, he definitely said Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, and he was also very favorable to the Vaishnava point of view. But we should understand that his main point of view was always impersonal, and it was not a Vaishnava point of view per se. So this we have to understand very clearly. Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, even in Bhagavad Gita, in 12th chapter, Evam Satat Yuktai Bhakta Stapari Upaste, where Arjuna is asking Krishna, what kind of people are favorite to you, personalist or impersonalist? And Krishna right. replies. So as I can understand, they are both favorable to Krishna.
Yes. They are both favorable to Krishna, but they have different inclinations. And Sri Adi Shankaracharya's inclination is impersonalistic. Whereas the Vaishnava Acharya's inclination is completely personal.
Prabhu, but I have also read that Shankaracharya, who is the incarnation of Shiva, was sent to this universe to propagate impersonalists because right. of the circumstances.
Right. That we agree. But when he was present as Adi Shankaracharya, not as Shiva. As Shiva, he is Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. As Lord Shiva, he is the topmost devotee. But when he comes as Adi Shankaracharya, we have to accept that he was an impersonalist.
How do you differentiate?
because they are Adi Shankaracharya is a sannyasi, Shiva is a grihastha. Their personality is very different.
I have not understood.
Even when the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna comes in different incarnations, he has different purposes. When Krishna came as Buddha, Krishna said, I reject the Vedas. Does it mean that, you know, Krishna rejected the Vedas or Buddha rejected the Vedas? Answer is Buddha rejected the Vedas, not Krishna
Buddha
rejected.
Yes.
So when Shiva came as Adi Shankaracharya, does it mean that Shiva became an impersonalist or Adi Shankaracharya is an impersonalist?
Shankaracharya.
So that is the answer to your question.
And when he came as Adi Shankaracharya?
That's what I am saying. As Adi Shankaracharya, he is taking the role of an impersonalist. As Lord Shiva, he is the topmost Vaishnava.
Hare Krishna, Guru.
Hare Krishna,
Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam. My glory is Srila Prabhupada. Prabhuji, thank you so much, first of all, for such a brilliant class. This concept of, the Mayavadi concept and the Vaishnavas concept was so much clear, but now after hearing your class, I got confused. Like in connection to what Preeti Vilasni Mataji's question, that after getting impersonal liberation, after those who merge into Brahman realization, their form, you said that they get this kind of liberation which is eternal. That means they don't come back to this Maya, this material world.
Right.
But how come, like, even I heard so many lectures that even like they say that after merging into impersonal Brahman, they realize that there is nothing to do because the soul is not inert, right? The soul needs to do some activity. But they realize it's nothing. So they do develop a desire. And then through their desire, they again come back. Maybe not being totally a materialist. Maybe they can take birth in some devotee family and then they perfect their life and then they go back. Because even Prabhupada's purport, it says that unless and until we have the full knowledge of the Supreme Lord as a person, there is 100% chance of falling down into this material world.
Right. So, the very simple answer to that is, the impersonalist has both knowledges. He sees what is devotional service also. He sees what is impersonal realization also. But then he voluntarily selects impersonal realization. It's not that he does not have any information about devotional service. He knows what is devotional service. They know what is bhakti. But they don't have an inclination for it. And after knowing well and making an informed choice that I want to perceive the absolute truth only as Brahma, then once they attain Videha Mukti, once they go back home, back to Godhead, once they go merge into Brahma, once they merge into Brahman, if they fall down from there, then how can liberation be a permanent state of existence? It will go against the entire concept that is there in the Vedanta Sutra, that nobody falls down after any sort of liberation. Any sort of liberation, nobody falls down. And sometimes individuals say they get bored there because they are not happy, and then they come back here. But there is no question of getting bored anywhere, because boredom is a feature of the material world. Boredom is not a feature of spiritual existence. There is no boredom either in Brahma Jyoti or in the spiritual world. But there are degrees of happiness. The degree of happiness in spiritual world is much greater than the degree of happiness in Brahma Jyoti. But even for those who are in the Brahma Jyoti, the degree of happiness is such that it's nothing compared to the happiness in the material world. So let's say even if they get bored, suppose they get bored. So if they get bored, they will move to something superior or they'll move to something inferior.
No, they definitely want to move something superior.
Of course. So how can they come to the material world? Because material world is anyways inferior to Brahma Jyoti.
No, Prabhu, but this material world, this earth is the only place, it's like you can say the 14-story building where the elevator is there. But once you have to take an elevator, you have to come onto the ground level. So right. That earth is the ground level where the doors of elevator opens. Then it's again a choice that you can go down to the basement or you can go up onto the building.
Right.
So it's only through the earth planet, like that's what, even like, see, I have that, it's a verse from, it's Prabhupada's word only, where he says that, in my opinion of many, many scholars, that's this Sayujya Mukti, although counted among the five kinds of Mukti, is actually not Mukti, because from Sayujya Mukti, one may again fall down to this material world.
Right. So we have to understand this thing. Whenever Prabhupada is speaking about Sayujya Mukti, the thing is that because this one contention is definitely there, that sometimes Prabhupada said that one can fall down from Sayujya Mukti. But the basis of that statement is this verse which I showed, Yenera Vindaksha Vimukta Maninas. And the previous acharyas have said that this verse is applicable only to the Jivan Muktas, not to those who have already merged in Brahman. And only after reading all the statements made by previous acharyas, am I bold enough to say that, you know, there is no fall down even from impersonal liberation. Because some things have to be spoken as they are spoken by the previous acharyas. Definitely, Srila Prabhupada has spoken this, and there are these two statements. We will put both these statements on the table. And if we put both these statements on the table, then both these statements may seem to be contradictory to each other. Because the previous acharyas very clearly say that after liberation, even if it is Brahman liberation, one doesn't fall down. But Srila Prabhupada sometimes say that from Brahman liberation, one may fall down. So when there are two opposite statements, how do we resolve that? The resolving has to be done by keeping intact both statements and not rejecting any one statement. Because if we say that somebody falls down from Brahma Jyoti, then we are rejecting the statements of the previous acharyas and the statement of the Vedanta Sutra, which says Anavritti Shabdas, that nobody falls from the spirit. And Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan, I showed the commentary also, where he says that nobody returns from Brahman. So then if we say that somebody returns from Brahman, then we cannot honor the statement of Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan. On the other hand, if we say that nobody returns from Brahma Jyoti, then we cannot honor the statement of Srila Prabhupada. So we have to have a consensus here. So let's have a consensus. How to resolve the apparent contradiction? Srila Rupa Goswami says, Virodho Vakya Yor Yatra Na Apramanyam Tadishyate Yatha Virudhata Chasya Tadartha Kalpyate Tayo. When there are two statements by two acharyas which are apparently contradictory to each other, find a resolution which will maintain both statements. So the only resolution that I see here is this, that those who think that they are merged into Brahman, Jivan Mukti, they may fall down. Like Prabhupada used to say many times, these people, these impersonalists, they fall down and then they create so many welfare projects like Anath Ashram, like they create bridges and charity projects and so on and so forth. They create. So Prabhupada is speaking about which impersonalist? The one who has already merged into Brahman or the one who is in this world and falsely thinking himself to be merged in Brahman? The answer is that he is speaking about him who is falsely thinking himself to be merged in Brahman, not actually merged into Brahman. So this is the only possible resolution, Mataji, because I have tried to think about it from many points of view, but this is the only possible resolution of this apparent contradiction.
Okay, Prabhu, thank you. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Sorry for taking your time.
No, I have to, because I have to take you through the entire journey. Otherwise, how can I make you... It's not possible to reach a destination. I just say, no, Prabhupada say this, previous acharya say this, now don't accept one of them and accept the... I can't ask devotees to take sides here. Sometimes devotees say, oh, we'll take sides only with Prabhupada, forget about what the previous acharya say. Then again, that is Ardha Kukkuti Nyaya, half hen knowledge. We will only take that part of the hen which we are comfortable with, and we will reject that part of the hen which we are not comfortable with. So intelligence is in harmonizing previous acharyas as well as later acharyas. So the only harmonization here is that when Prabhupada says that the impersonalists fall down, so the impersonalists fall down means the impersonalists who are right now in the material world and falsely thinking themselves to be liberated, they fall down. And what happens when they fall down? Then they get into these charity projects and say, Manav Seva hi Madhav Seva. You might have heard these statements. Manav Seva is Madhav Seva. So this is the fall down of the impersonalists.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Yeah, go ahead, Prabhuji.
There you go.
So, Prabhuji, my question is that you said about the impersonal Brahman. Like, so when they merge into Brahman, is it that only if they get into Samadhi, and at the time of death, and they merge into Brahman, or like if they have a normal death, then also they can merge into Brahman?
No, normal death, they cannot merge into Brahman. They have to be Jivan Mukta.
They have to attend the Samadhi, then only they can go to Brahman.
Yes, right? not only them, even devotee has to have Samadhi before they can attain the spiritual world. That is spoken in Nectar of Instruction, where Prabhupada is describing various dashas, Shravan dasha, Varan dasha, and then there is Samadhi. In Smaran dasha, the final stage is Samadhi. So the devotee has to leave his body in Samadhi, but the devotee's Samadhi is to 24 hours get a spontaneous remembrance of Krishna. That is the devotee's Samadhi. The devotee also has to leave in the state of Samadhi. But the devotee's Samadhi is constant smaran of Krishna and constant spontaneous smaran of Krishna. And the impersonalist also has to live in Samadhi, but that Samadhi is without any bija. But both of them have to quit their body in a state of Samadhi. Otherwise, if their mind is distracted and they are thinking of something else, then like Bharat Maharaj, there is every chance of coming back. That is the point.
Okay. So, one another question then is that so when Mayavadis are attracted towards impersonal Brahman, so is it their conditioning from previous life that they are attracted towards that kind of thing, and that's why they just want to pursue that path? Because just after hearing half an hour, 1 hour class of yours to a novice like me, it's very clear that what is the difference between that and which is higher and which is superior. But still, if someone is attracted to that form of liberation, so is it understood that it is some kind of conditioning they have because of which they are trying to pursue that?
No, that it is their specific inclination, which is since time immemorial. But that inclination, which is since time immemorial, it gets strength from the statements of the scriptures. Now, if by will of providence, or if by the mercy of the Lord, they come in contact with a devotee, then it is possible that they may get attracted to the lotus feet of the Lord. See, the four Kumaras, they were Jivan Muktas. Jivan Muktas means they were liberated. In this material world, they were liberated. But by the mercy of the Lord, they got attracted to the devotional service of the Lord. So before they quit their body, because at one point of the time, four Kumaras also have to quit their body. Even though they have a very long span of life, at one point of time, they also have to quit this body and go to the spiritual world. But if that would have happened before them becoming devotees, then they would have remained impersonalists. But now, in this life itself, they have become devotees. So, now they have started their own Vaishnava Sampradaya, which is called as Kumar Sampradaya. It is one of the four Vaishnava Sampradayas. Today it is called as the Nimbarka Sampradaya. So, Nimbarka Sampradaya is actually coming from the four Kumaras. So, before Videha Mukti, there is a possibility if by some contact with some devotee or contact with the Lord, if their inclination changes in the material world, then it is possible. Otherwise, once they attain Videha Mukti and merge into Brahman, then it is not possible.
Okay. And one last question, Prabhuji. So you said about that Jivan Mukta thing, that somebody claims within this body that he's liberated and he's not coming back. And so because I have heard from some of the Mayavadis, personalities who are presently in this world, So then it's very clear based on your statement that what they are, because nobody can find in this body that this is last birth before reaching that state.
Your voice is breaking, bro. Your voice is breaking. Can you please?
Yeah. So I heard some of the like impersonalists in today's time who claims that this is their last birth and they are not coming back. So
right.
Though still they have not, you know, gone to that samadhi stage yet, they are still living and claim that this is their last birth. So based on what you just explained, like they are in kind of that trap which come back and become an impersonal,
yeah.
Like.
Yeah, so they are these are the people who are impersonal. You may see many people pontificating on TV and they are saying that I am Shiva, I am Mahashiva, I am this, I am that. They are saying on TV there, they may be saying. And then you have to see how much respect they have for Lord Krishna's lotus feet. If they don't have any respect for Lord Krishna's lotus feet, then they fit exactly in the category of that verse of Lord Brahma. They have disregard for Krishna's feet and they are artificially thinking themselves to be liberated. They are avishuddha buddhayah. They are faulty, they have faulty intelligence, muddied intelligence. Aruya krichrena parampadam. They may climb up with great difficulty to the highest, you know, jivan mukti, but even from the state of jivan mukti, patanti adho, they will fall down. Why? Because anadrita yushmadangraha, they have disregarded your lotus feet, oh dear Lord. So this is, and there are many people who are today, it's because anybody who gets a platform, they start speaking. And there are people who are gullible enough to take that as the absolute truth. And then they make a common person into a big personality. And then these big personalities, they have... they consider themselves to be impersonal Brahman, but then these impersonal Brahman, they hire marketing teams and you know, market themselves as the supreme, you know, absolute truth. So this all is basically, in today's age, there are many people who are cheating in this way. We have to understand many people who are cheating in this way. So these people, a devotee should very carefully stay away from such people. Very carefully stay away from such people. Because let me tell you, these people are not even liked by the traditional followers of Adi Shankaracharya. Traditional followers of Adi Shankaracharya also say that these people are actually, they have spoilt our religion by going on TV and propagating everywhere that I am God.
Right.
So even the traditional followers of Adi Shankaracharya don't like these TV gurus. We have to understand this.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Thank you.
Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Do you have time for one more question? I'm sorry.
I have time for many more questions.
Okay, thank you. So I just wanted to ask a follow-up question from your answer to Kirtidam Sundari Mataji about going to the Brahma Jyoti, there's no fall down. And you said that, you know, naturally, you know, they would want to go to something superior.
Right.
So from the Brahma Jyoti, can they go to Goloka Vrindavan? What is superior?
Right. Now, this is something which Shastra doesn't speak anything about. There is one statement and I have lost the reference. Srila Prabhupada made that statement. It was not in the Bhagavatam or any Shastra. One statement where, you know, Prabhupada says that in 99.999% cases, they go up, they don't come down. But I have not seen, that is a statement made by Srila Prabhupada, but I have not seen a reference for that statement in Shastra. So, Shastra speaks mainly about how to get there. Now, after getting there, what has to happen? Shastra has very little to speak about that. Because a lot of the energy and time of a jiva is spent in getting there. So, Shastra aims specifically at that. And then what happens after getting there, this only very few spiritualists speak of, and it's Vedic scriptures mainly don't speak much of that. Devotees speak, like Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami says, Gopal Champu, he describes everything that happens in the spiritual world. But Vedic literature specifically speaks of how to get to the spiritual world, not much about what happens after we get there. So therefore, these references are very scarce, and I don't think that there is any such reference that exists. I would be happy to be proven wrong. But as of now, I have not seen any reference which says that from the Brahma Jyoti, they can move up. So the safe statement to make is that they remain eternally in the Brahma Jyoti. Although Prabhupada, on the strength of Prabhupada's statements, we can say that there is a possibility that they may move up from there. But certainly there is no possibility that they will come down again. So that is what I have understood.
Prabhu, I don't know if this would help. Anyway, but we do see in the story of Gopa Kumar, his experience in the Brahma Jyoti, and then how he's favored by the Lord to move upwards later. But of course, it's a individual case perspective. I mean, it's a very rare case.
Right.
But still,
right.
There was a possibility. And maybe if we just explore those statements of Srila Sanatana Goswami in detail,
right.
We could probably
right.
get a better idea.
Better idea, yeah. But then at the end of the day, they will be... See, they are Sanatana Goswami statements, so they are Sampradaya specific. So it's not about statements I am speaking of.
Right,
Upanishads.
Right.
Huh? So Sampradaya specific statements we may get. But all acceptable from all the Sampradayas are only Vyasadeva statements. So I am speaking about Vyasadeva statements here.
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, that's horrifying to think that you couldn't get to Goloka Vrindavan from there if you don't come back down, you know? Because that's what I've always, I don't have pramanam, I'm sorry, but that's what I've always heard in classes, that you have to come back down here. But if you're eternally in the Brahma Jyoti, oh, that would be so sad.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji. I appreciate your class.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Danut Pranams. Thank you for the very nice class. Do you have time for questions?
Yeah, I have all the time. We can go for another hour, no problem.
So, Prabhuji, the question is, like we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said that Maya Pada Bhashya Sunile Hoibe Sarvanash. And also other Vaishnava Acharyas commenting or recommending strongly that not to take to the path of Mayavada.
Right.
Why is it that they are doing that? If Brahmananda is the happiness is spiritual, and the attainment of that happiness is permanent. And my second question is, do we have any impersonalistic acharyas telling that, you know, don't listen to personalist philosophy, otherwise it will bring a ruination, or recommending not to go to right. Vaishnava line?
Right. So, first thing is, first I will answer your second question. Do we have any acharyas from the impersonal line who have spoken against Vaishnavas? Yes, there are acharyas, there have been acharyas. If you see the life story of Sri Ramanujacharya, his Vedant guru was Sri Yadav Prakash. And Yadav Prakash always used to make fun of the features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Once while explaining the term Kapyasam in the Upanishads, he said that the Lord's eyes are as reddish as the hind part of a monkey. I don't know if you have heard of this incident. So Ramanujacharya
we heard in proper lecture.
Yeah. So many times they have poked such fun. So therefore the Vaishnava Acharyas also, they also, you know, spoke some statements against them. But we have to understand one thing. What is the reason that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking so fervently and powerfully against Mayavad? Jiver Nistara Lagi Sutra Kaila Vyas Mayavadi Bhashya Sunile Haya Sarvanash. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very firm about this point that Vyasadeva, the Brahma Sutra, Vedanta Sutra is written by Vyasadeva. Now, we don't need any other person to explain Vyasadeva's words. Vyasadeva himself is completely equipped to explain his own words. Now, Vyasadeva has written Vedanta Sutra, but he did not write a commentary. So, we need, you know, this commentary, Sharirika Bhashya. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says no. Vyasadeva will explain his own commentary. And how has Vyasadeva explained his own Vedanta Sutra? That is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam especially is a complete explanation of Vedanta Sutra. So, this was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion. Now, if somebody takes to a commentary beside Srimad Bhagavatam, then that commentary may differ from, you know, Vyasadeva's opinion, and it may contain a mixture of other philosophies. So, therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying that by listening to any commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, especially the impersonal commentary, one will ruin one's spiritual life because one will be driven away from the original intention of Sri Vyasadeva in writing the Vedanta Sutra. That is the reason. And there are one or two more reasons, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very firmly believed that Sri Adi Shankaracharya has commented against the mood of Vyasadeva in the Vedanta Sutra. So for this reason, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke very strongly against this one particular commentary on the Vedanta Sutra.
Thank you, Prabhuji. But I think there are so many questions. First, we have to digest what you said. Maybe one more class on this would be helpful with so many other references. Thank you, Prabhu.
Right.
Prabhu, do you have time for one more question?
Yeah, I said I have time for many more questions. No problem. We can go on. As long as Bhakti Sangha Japa conference allows, I am okay.
Prabhu, when you read devotional service in Bhagavad Gita chapter 12, Krishna is not favoring either personalist or impersonalist. My question is that he himself is telling Arjun that even those who worship the unmanifested, they also achieve me.
But
so who is more perfect?
No, you didn't complete the sentence.
If
they also achieve me, but there is something after that.
I'll read the whole thing.
Sure.
It's a bit long translation.
Yeah.
By those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engaged in welfare of all at last achieve me.
At last achieve me. At last achieve me.
So,
and they attain
they
by their yeah they do attain they do. Yes, I'm specifying the difference. They do attain the Lord, which means he says they put all the efforts and they do attain the Lord at the end. And when it comes to the devotees, what does he say in the immediate next verse?
No, he says that those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. I am saying about Bhagavad Gita 12.7. I will show you the screen so that it is easy for all the devotees to also follow. Please see here. Yes. So, I am... Yeah. See here. Keshodhikatras tesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta hi gatir dukham dehavadbhir avapyate. translation is, for those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested impersonal future of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. First thing, their advancement is difficult. So here Krishna speaks slightly negatively of their advancement. To make progress in that discipline is always very difficult for those who are embodied. This is one statement. Second, next statement. But means he is contrasting. The Sanskrit says ye tu. Tu means but here. But means he is contrasting, which means he is showing something which he considers to be better. Those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service, always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me. O son of Pritha, for them I am the deliverer. They don't have to deliver themselves. I deliver them from the ocean of birth and death. So it is very clearly stated that in their case, Krishna becomes the agent. They don't have to ensure their own deliverance. So after reading that in the case of the devotees, Krishna himself becomes the agent of deliverance, it is obvious that Krishna's bias is towards whom?
No, Prabhu. Bias I don't deny. But they say that even if they are impersonalists, they also achieve me. That means that, theek hai, unko thodi zyada mehnat karni padti hai, but they also reach.
Yeah, they also, that we not, that even the Vaishnavas don't deny.
But why are we so against impersonalists?
We are against that because there is no concept of service in that. There is no adan pradan sweetness. With whom will you relish rasa? With whom will you relish exchange of eternal service? Raso vai saha rasa hi evam labdhva anandi bhavati. The Supreme Personality is rasa, and only by experiencing rasa does the Supreme Personality experience joy. But where will there be rasa? Because for rasa there has to be a giver and a taker. And where is the rasa? Where is the question of flow of rasa, flow of emotions, if the giver and taker merge into one?
Prabhu, that is one thing. Rasa, yes, that is true. That is our way of looking at it. But when you talk to them, it is very difficult to convince them of certain things, like merging into Brahma Jyoti.
Yeah, it may be difficult to convince them. But there are many, this is one of the reasons why we are against. Your question is, why are we against them? This is one reason. Second reason is that when Krishna comes in the material world, they say that Krishna comes with a material body. Ask any impersonalist and ask them if Krishna's body, when he came, the body with which he was speaking Bhagavad Gita, was it a spiritual body or a material body? They will say that even when Bhagavan comes, when Brahma accepts a body, he accepts a material body. How can Bhagavan's body be material? This means that Maya has become more powerful than Brahma, so that Maya has given Brahma a material body. And because in their philosophy, Maya is more powerful than Brahma, therefore we call it Mayavad. So therefore, this is one of our big problems against them. That they say that when the Lord comes with a body in this world, that body is also material. So this is a big problem that the Vaishnavas have against the impersonalists, the Mayavadis especially.
And also I want to know, when we say Brahma Jyoti, it is the effulgence. Effulgence,
right?
As
right,
and
right.
And whose effulgence is this?
It is the effulgence of the Lord, who is situated in the spiritual world.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Yep. Hare Krishna, okay. Prabhuji. I have some question, Prabhu. Prabhuji, when the Paramatma, the realization of Paramatma, are they also impersonalist or Mayavadi? Because so many times when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, actually they have seen the Lord's form within the heart. Means, are they also Mayavadis or impersonalist, Prabhu?
No. they are not Maya, they are yogis. They are Mayavadi or impersonalist is a category of Jnanis. Jnana Yoga is a different system from Ashtanga Yoga. So we can't just, sometimes some individuals do this thing, everybody, every other philosophy we categorize as Mayavadi. No, everybody is not Mayavadi. Not the yogis are not Mayavadis. The any individual who thinks that the Supreme Lord becomes covered by Maya, or the Brahma, the Supreme Brahman gets covered by Maya, is known as a Mayavadi. So that specific person is known as a Mayavadi. A yogi may be a Brahmavadi, or a yogi may be a Vaishnav. There is a difference between Brahmavadi and Mayavadi. There is a big difference between Brahmavadi and Mayavadi. Unfortunately, we know I can't. It requires at least an hour of explanation. What is the difference between Brahmavadi and Mayavadi? But a yogi may be a Brahmavadi. Shukdev Goswami was a Brahmavadi, not a Mayavadi. Shukdev Goswami, previous to being attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam, he was a Brahmavadi. But a yogi may also be a Brahmavadi, but a yogi may also be a Vaishnav. So there are many different categories of yogis. Some yogis are Brahmavadis, some yogis are Vaishnavas. So yogi is not necessarily a Mayavadi. If a yogi has a false conception that the Supreme Lord accepts a body of Mahamaya, then that yogi is also having the tendencies of a Mayavadi. Otherwise, generally yogis are Kachimpunyavadi and one is a Vaishnava. So that is the answer to your query, Madhuri.
Okay, yes. Because so many people, they said we have to realize Paramatma and different sects, and they don't go to the Bhagavan, but they at least try to reach Paramatma. For them, even though they don't realize the energies, do they realize the Paramatma, realize the Lord's energies, Prabhu?
Yeah, in Samadhi, there is a chance in they may realize the spiritual energy of the Lord. By the mercy of the Lord, there is a chance they may realize. But whatever happens in the stage of Samadhi is not documented. For individual yogis, what happens after Samadhi is not documented. But one thing is sure, after if their Samadhi is Nirbija means they are not meditating on a specific personality, then they cannot attain the spiritual world. If their Samadhi is Sabija, which means their Samadhi has an object of meditation, and they have a clear concept that this object of meditation is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then definitely they can attain the spiritual world.
And Prabhuji, you said even Brahma Jyoti, from there nobody come back. I mean, what is their destination? They will eternally reside, like what we heard from Prabhupada lecture, they will be floating in the air. Are eternally floating in the air? Or what is their eternal destination?
Srila Prabhupada gave an example that they are floating in the air. It's not that there is air in Brahma Jyoti, because air is a material element. So air cannot be present in Brahma Jyoti. Srila Prabhupada is giving an example to make it clear to us. So floating in the air, what he means to say is that we will remain there forever and without doing any activity. So that is possible, that a living entity may remain in Brahma Jyoti forever without doing any activity. See, there are living entities in the spiritual world who are trees. Now, the trees, they usually don't do any activity. They'll be like that forever. Why? Because they are happy in that way in the spiritual world. There are some living entities who are mountains in the spiritual world. They remain mountains forever. Why? Because mountains don't do anything. The function of a mountain is to be as it is. So similarly, there are some living entities who are in Brahma Jyoti. They remain like that forever. So that is the simple thing we have to know. But Prabhupada gave an example that they remain like that in the air, because actually there is no air in the Brahma Jyoti. But what Prabhupada means to say is that they remain like that forever.
Yes, it makes sense, Prabhu. And their Jnani is, they realize the Sat feature, means they are eternally remain there, right, as without activity. It means they don't. And also people from there also, they want to go further. They want to go further, Prabhu. Means they may develop that kind of desire
from there to go further means Satit Ananda, means we have to, Sat is not the ultimate, and then from the Brahma Jyotir also they want to go further or not to go?
That, therefore I said, Shastra doesn't speak of that. And therefore for me to make a statement like that without a Shastric statement, for me that would not be good. And when I say Shastra, I mean the statements of Vyasadeva, not the statements of, because Shastra means which all some, which I can prove to all the sampradayas, which I can show to all the sampradayas and prove to them that they move ahead. So, although, you know, acharyas of our sampradayas have made some statements that they may progress in their realization, but that is our limited to our sampradaya only. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada says many of them move upwards. So we accept that in our sampradaya, but I have not seen a generic statement by Sri Vyasadeva in this regard.
And Prabhupada, another thing, even Prabhupada, not only one time he mentioned, so many lectures he emphasized the reason impersonalist. If Prabhupada said like one time, two time, means that is not very important, but he emphasized every lecture, even there is... they may fall down and they may open the hospital. Activities should be there for the soul, and they may, because there is no activities, there is, and they may fall down and they come to the again the activities of opening hospital, doing the man of seva. Is it which sense he was talking? Because not only one time he was saying this statement, every lecture if we heard same statement, they may open the hospital, come and do the man of seva. Means you were telling in the beginning, they are thinking, they are realized, they already free from the, means they are already liberation. This kind of people he was mentioning, or he already gone, what is there?
Because if, he was, my understanding is that he is mentioning those individuals who have not yet quit their body and who are falsely thinking that they are Jivan Muktas. Because if somebody merges into Brahman and then they come back, so that will go against many statements of Shastra. One of the statements is that the final sutra of Vedanta Sutra, and that sutra cannot be invalidated. The sutra says that once a person attains any liberation, there is no coming back. Absolutely no coming back. But Srila Prabhupada says they do fall down from Brahman realization. So then we have to harmonize both statements. Like I said, when Kirtida Sundari Mataji asked, we have to harmonize both statements. How do we harmonize both statements? Because we can't reject any one statement. If I say, no, Prabhupada is correct, Vyasadeva's statement in Vedanta Sutra is incorrect, then I am rejecting the very foundation of my sampradaya. Now, if I say Vyasadeva's statement is correct, no, Prabhupada's statement is not correct, then I am rejecting the immediate link which I am having. So I cannot reject any link. So I have to harmonize both links. How do I do that? Because the only way of harmonizing it is by understanding Srila Prabhupada's statement as being applicable to the Jivan Mukta, not to the Videha Mukta, to the person who is falsely thinking that I am liberated, not to the person who is actually liberated.
Yes. Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. Makes sense.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvar Pranams. I just have two observations I made from the whole discussion, Prabhu. I would like to share with you, and if I'm wrong in my understanding, I'd like you to correct me, Prabhu. One is that not only Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but all Vaishnava Acharyas vehemently oppose the Mayavad philosophy that Lord is Nirakar. I mean, it didn't start with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but, you know, all Vaishnava Sampradayas are against this principle. And the second observation, you know, what I understood is, you mentioned that Avishuddha Buddhaya, like only people with impure, you know, consciousness is what is being referred to there in that verse. Patanti Adaro. So what I'm trying to understand is, you also mentioned that, you know, people who go to the Brahma Jyoti do have the understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they must, because, you know, if they did not have knowledge of Krishna, then they're still impure and, you know, they couldn't go there to the Brahma Jyoti. So they do understand right. all these concepts of Vedas and, you know, the right. whole picture, they understand. Right. So I'm just wondering that even after understanding the whole picture, so they choose to just stay there in Brahma Jyoti in an inert state, like totally inactive and dormant. So that's right. their choice. So is that, right. that's my understanding I got from this.
Yeah, that question. Is their choice. That is the choice that they make, that we don't want any variations after liberation. All we want to be is in a state of complete tranquility and spiritual happiness. That's all we want.
So even after, perhaps knowing or listening to so much of the sweetness of the Lord's Leelas and pastimes and reciprocation from the Lord, they choose that. And that's why a destination like Brahma Jyoti is there for such people who, after listening to all that, still are attracted to, a formless, featureless, rasa-less Brahma Jyoti.
Yeah, they have heard about bhakti, they have a general idea of what bhakti is, but they have not really, you know, before they were fortunate enough to come in contact with a Paramhamsa devotee, they have made their choice. And once they have made their choice, they have progressed on that path, and they have progressed on that path, and they have also attained oneness with Brahma, they have attained liberation. Now there is nothing that can be done. But before they attain liberation, like Shukdev Goswami from a Brahmavadi, he transformed into a devotee. There is possible if they come in contact with a very superior devotee who can convince them of the rasa of bhakti, then it is possible. I will give one example of, because one recent example of a personality who did like that. There was a personality who stayed in... who studied in Kashi and was a frequent visitor of the Shankaracharya of Kashi. This personality was, he was initiated into Adi Shankaracharya Sampradaya. His name was Sri Akhandanand Saraswati, recent personality, Sri Akhandanand Saraswati. So he was devoted to his impersonal understanding. But at a certain point of time, he heard Srimad Bhagavatam. And he heard Srimad Bhagavatam, and especially he read all the sweet commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was so attracted to these commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, so attracted to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that he spent the rest of his life in Vrindavan. And there is a photograph of him with Srila Prabhupada, and all the devotees are dancing all around them. So he was an impersonalist previously, but he became very attracted to devotional service of the Lord. And there were many commentaries on the 10th canto, which, you know, attracted him. But there was one specific commentary which was very dear to his heart. And that commentary on 10th canto attracted his heart very much. This commentary was the commentary of Sri Hari Sur. So by reading this commentary, he was so attracted to the pastimes of the 10th canto that he published this commentary in its original Sanskrit, and he also came and stayed forever in Sri Vrindavan until his last moment. So in this way, even impersonalists can become attracted to the service of the Lord, but before this attraction has to happen, before they leave their body and before they decide that they are going to merge into Brahman. But once they leave their body and merge into Brahman, what happens there is not mentioned in Shastra. So that is my answer.
Sure, Prabhu. I do get that, because even Shukadeva Goswami did not have the Bhagavan realization, and the Ahobakim verse kind of transformed right. him. That's what we hear right. from Acharyas. So you're, again, from what I'm understanding, as you said, the person who has Brahma Jyoti as a destination may not have met a Bhagavata devotee and may not have had the opportunity to realize that rasa or that personal aspect of the Supreme Lord. So even exactly. when they have not had such an opportunity to understand Bhagavan in full,
So are we, you know, is it okay to say that they are perfected or they're totally purified, even though they have not, they don't have an idea of this, you know, like you just mentioned that they may not have met a Bhagavata or a purity.
They are considered as pure because they have no disrespect for the Lord. They have respect for the path of bhakti, but they are not attracted to it because they have not really experienced that rasa. But at least they don't have any disrespect towards the path of bhakti. So their intelligence is pure because they acknowledge bhakti, they acknowledge the existence of the Lord, but still they are attracted more towards the impersonal feature of the Lord.
So, so in that sense, would I be right in saying that their realization may be at a slightly lower level compared to that of a devotee, or you know?
Of course, definitely. That we can very clearly state on the strength of the statements of the Bhagavatam itself, that the impersonal realization is not the highest realization.
Sure, Prabhuji. Yeah, thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranamam. Krishna Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji, and very nice. You answered everybody's questions. So if other devotees have more questions, we can have it for next time because it's already too late. Sorry about that. And thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your time and association. Hare Krishna. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya
devacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai.
Santarashimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Ki jai. His praise Hari
Pashat Prabhu ki jai.
Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai.
Ki jai.